you can try to hide, but if you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you cannot get the Holy Spirit outside of you. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit. He's there to stay.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is your host, Joshua Hollick, with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in a series titled Red Hot Faith. And today, Pastor Mark, your message is called Getting Unstuck. This is part one. We're in Hebrews chapter 3. And you're going to talk to us about figuring out why it is that we get stuck. Why do we get stuck?
Yeah, I think there's various reasons, Joshua. We all get stuck at some time. By the way, I did write a book called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave into Your Call.
I think I've heard of that.
You've heard of that before. But this is actually out of the book of Hebrews. And I believe that the writer of the Hebrews points to two main reasons why these people had gotten stuck. Number one, because they had heard the voice of God and had not responded. Sometimes we hear, but we don't obey, we get stuck. And secondly, because we get into bad patterns that we repeat. You know, have you ever seen that proverbial hamster running and running and running in that little spin round deal, and they're not getting anywhere? They keep doing the same thing. It may be good for their belly fat, but it's not good to get them anywhere. And I see Christians doing the same thing, repeating the same mistakes over and over and over and expecting different results.
Well, friends, maybe you can relate to that thought today. You're in the hamster wheel, doing the hamster workout, wishing things could change, working harder, but not getting anywhere. Pastor Mark, as we enter this message, would you take a moment to pray for our listeners who may be feeling stuck, that God would use this message in their life?
Father, I pray in Jesus' name for that person right now that happened to catch this podcast or radio program and knows right now in their heart that they are stuck, that they're not moving forward spiritually, that they are stagnant. I pray that you would awaken them by the power of the Spirit of God. Even now, Holy Spirit, bring an awakening, get their attention right now to listen and hear what God will speak to them in the next few minutes, Father. So I pray for a breakthrough, Lord, tonight during the listening of this podcast or this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is my last message on Red Hot Faith. During the summer, I started thinking about what it meant for us as a church to make sure that we don't ever fall in to lukewarmness or just mediocre fervency for God. I think it's every church's challenge and every person's challenge to maintain a spiritual temperature in their life that's hot for God. In fact, I think everybody in this auditorium has had times where you know it's hard to keep your own spiritual temperature high. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? That you got to work at it. And I believe that it's our responsibility to keep our heart on fire for God. And we have a lot of things in our culture. We have a lot of forces around us that are looking to sap the energy out of our spiritual life. And so this whole series has been about, how do you keep your spiritual temperature hot for God? I believe that Hebrews chapter 3 really talks to us about a group of people that had gotten stuck. They had had a strong spiritual temperature, but like everybody in life, you get stuck, and it's our job to get unstuck. If you're stuck today here, you're stuck in a habit that you can't break, you're stuck in a bad attitude that you can't get out of, you're stuck in a sort of a desert part of your spiritual walk that you can't seem to break, I believe that it's your responsibility with God's power to break out of that place of being stuck. And so the writer of the Hebrews is talking to this group of people, and he's explaining to them why they're stuck and explaining to them how to get unstuck. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 15 is my passage. But before I go to that passage, so you can keep your finger there, before I go to that passage, I want to go two chapters later in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. And I want to read those verses to you as a prelude to the passage that I'm about to talk to you about. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. The writer of the Hebrews says this: "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Listen to this formula: time plus growth equals maturity. Time plus growth equals maturity. Listen to this next formula: time plus stagnation or non-growth equals immaturity. Do you know how many people tell me sometimes, "Well, Pastor, I've been attending this church for 10 years. Let me tell you, just because you've been attending New Life for 10 years doesn't make you a mature believer. It just means you've been hanging out with us for 10 years. The big question is, have you been growing all 10 years? Because if you've just been hanging out on the fringes and hanging out in the fellowship, but you haven't been growing, then you've been 10 years into your immaturity, but not 10 years into growth and maturity. Never mistake longevity for maturity. I've known believers that, well, they were raised in the church and they went to Sunday school and they had the Bibles and they got all the stickers in Awana and they know the songs and they know the choruses and they've been around Christianity for a long time, but they go year after year without growing. And so although they've been a Christian for 20 years, they still act like a little baby Christian, because they've been around, but they haven't been growing. And we need to understand that there's a difference between lapsing time and growing old and growing mature. And so what the writer of the Hebrews is telling this group of people is that by this time, in the normal sequence of events, if you had been growing at the natural rate that you should be growing, by this time you should be teachers. In other words, by this time in your Christian walk, if year after year you had been growing, you would be teaching other people about the Word. You would be mentoring others, discipling others, investing in others' lives. Other new believers would be coming to you, and you would be opening up your Bible and explaining things to them and praying for them and encouraging them and helping them mature in their walk with God. He said, by this time, you should be teachers. But instead of being teachers, what's happened is, since you haven't grown, you still need milk, not solid food. You're still babies, even though a long time has lapsed. And so the writer of the Hebrews is saying, I got to give you baby food when you should be chewing on a nice, juicy steak. How many of you know that 6-month-old baby, if you get a piece of steak, and say, baby, you don't know what you're missing. You've been having little carrot mush until now, smashed up peas, but finally you're ready to graduate. I know you don't have any teeth in your mouth yet, but I'm going to give you a nice big chunk of juicy steak. What happens with that baby? Now don't try this, please. Don't try this at home. That baby's going to choke. Why? Because that baby can't handle meat. Because in order to chew on meat, you have to have teeth and you have to have strength and you have to be able to chew it up in order to swallow it. So instead we give babies food that doesn't take a lot of work. Have you ever tasted baby food? Oh, it's nasty. Nasty. I'm like, when I was feeding my babies, I'm like, I apologize that you have to eat this food. I would make funny faces if I were you too. I would spit it up too, baby, but I'm sorry. This is what you got to eat because you can't handle the good food yet. Now, if you're a grown person, and if I were to walk into your house and open up your refrigerator and all you had was just stacks and stacks of baby food, and you were to sit down at your table and you would say, Pastor, welcome to my house. Do you want a jar of mushed carrots and peas? I'll heat it up for you and put a little salt in it if you want. I would say, no way, I don't want baby food. What's the matter with you? You're a grown adult. But yet in the spiritual realm, we have churches all across this city and all across this nation and believers all across this city of Chicago that have been in Christ for some time but are still eating baby food. And the writer of the Hebrews is telling them, listen, I want to give you milk, but I can't because you're still an infant even though you're older. And you can't handle solid food because solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. In other words, they put in practice the teaching of the Word of God. They're acquainted with the Word. They're practicing the Word. They're growing in the Word. And so they're maturing. They can handle solid meat and not just food, baby food. So I want you to understand, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. Why do people get stuck? He tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 15, why some people get stuck in their spiritual life. Number one.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk Radio message called Getting Unstuck, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's series called Red Hot Faith. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, and his message is called Getting Unstuck.
Because we hear his voice, but we don't respond. In Hebrews chapter, he's writing to the same people, but a few chapters earlier, he's talking to these people and he's saying, so as the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we baptize people here at New Life, we baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We are not baptizing them in the name of three gods. We are baptizing them in the name of one God that manifests himself as three persons yet in one. You say, Pastor, I don't fully understand that. Well, welcome to humanity where we with our finite mind cannot comprehend an infinite God. It's hard for us to understand the Trinity, but it's three people that operate in absolutely succinct harmony, have the same nature, and do nothing apart from each other as one God, but yet a triune God. It's called the Trinity. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Jesus left, it tells us in John, so that the Holy Spirit could come. I run into people once in a while that say, I wish I could have lived when Jesus was on earth. No, you don't. You don't wish you would have lived when Jesus, because chances are if you were around when Jesus, you wouldn't be one of the 12 apostles. Sorry to burst your balloon. Which means that probably you wouldn't have a lot of access to Jesus. You'd be one in the crowd while Jesus was way over there. And plus you wouldn't have your cell phone, which some of you couldn't live without. And you may have a quick conversation with Jesus, but you would not have absolutely 24-hour access to Jesus like you do now. You see, what you say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, Jesus said, I must leave so that the Paraclete, the helper, the counselor, can come. Jesus left so that the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, could descend, and so that Jesus' Spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit, could be with us 24 hours a day, accessible at any time, and not only somewhere that you have to go visit, but he would dwell inside of you. So now as a believer of Jesus, I have all of Jesus' power, wisdom, resurrection power, guidance, living inside of me 24 hours a day. When I wake up, he's there. When I go to sleep, he's there. When I go to church, he's there. When I go to work, he's there. When I go to school, he's there. All the power of Jesus dwelling inside of me 24 hours a day. Now, someone better get excited about that, please. It's called the Holy Spirit. That's why when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you say, when do we receive the Holy Spirit? The moment you give your life to Christ, you cannot be born again without the work of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit that renews you, changes you. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a born again believer that does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you have the Spirit. Now, you may not be walking in the Spirit. You may grieve the Spirit. You may not be sensitive to the Spirit. You may quench the Spirit. But you have the Spirit inside of you if you are born again. In fact, the Bible says that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit into the day of redemption. Yeah. Some of you need to know that, because some of you feel like you get the Spirit, then you lose the Spirit. Then you get them, then you lose them. You're walking good, you have them. Then you walk bad, you lose them. And you just can't keep track whether you have them or you don't have them. Now, I want you to know that this is really, really important, that if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Period. Listen, if you walk out of this place and decide, I'm going to leave God, I don't want to follow God anymore, I'm going to go to the dirtiest, darkest, dingiest tavern that I knew in my old days, I'm going to go to Rush Street, or I'm going to go to that little corner of Little Village where no one knows me, order a tequila, and I'm just going to swear up a storm, and I'm going to try to find a woman I'm just going to walk away from God. Here's what I want you to know. You can try to run, you can try to walk, you can try to hide, but if you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you cannot get the Holy Spirit outside of you. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit. He's there to stay. So you take the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go. And so here's what he says. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. And the first reason that we get stuck or allow our lives to get into lukewarmness is because we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, but when we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, we react against the voice of the Holy Spirit and we harden our heart, which means that we basically are rebelling. We are saying, I know what you want me to do, but I don't want to do it. I hear you in my spirit. I hear your voice, but I don't want to obey your voice. So You hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of the testing in the wilderness. The writer of the Hebrews is referring to a time. It's referred to also in Psalms 95, verse 7. In Psalms 95, verse 7, it says, 7 through 11, it says, "For he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day in Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest." God is comparing them to the people of Israel when they traveled through the desert. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 6 through 7, if you remember the story, the people of Israel were in the desert and they were thirsty and they started to complain. They started to say, "God brought us out here to the desert so we can die of thirst. God, where are you? How come you're not faithful, God? We're complaining against Moses. We want to go back to Egypt. We don't trust you, God." And it says, "So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" You see, here's what had happened in the desert, is that God had said to them, "I will take you into a promised land and I will lead you." But as they were going, they ran into trials and tribulations, and so they started to complain about God and test God and say, "God, are you really with us? And can we trust you, God? And I don't know if I want to follow you, God, because I don't know if I think I was better off before I followed you. I think we were better off in Egypt." And so they tested God when they went through a trial. Instead of saying, "God, we trust you, even though we don't understand why we're going through this, we still believe that you're in control, that you're on the throne, that you will not forsake us, that you have an answer." They tested God. Do you realize that you can test God? You can test God. You can test the patience of God. They heard the voice of God, but they weren't willing to trust God. And although they heard the voice of God, they hardened their hearts and weren't willing to trust God, even though they had seen God do so much among them. I don't know how long you've been walking with God, but here's what I know. If you've been walking with God for some time, you have seen God work in your life. You have seen God answer prayers, and you have seen God come through, and you've seen the hand of God. You have seen God take you out of some tough times, and there have been times where you just looked to the heavens and God was there. But how many of you know that sometimes we reach a Meribah, where although we've seen the waters part and we've seen fire from heaven and we've seen the miraculous and we've tasted and seen the goodness of God and we've felt his presence and we knew that he was there and we've been amazed at what God has done. Sometimes we go down the journey and it seems like in a moment, in the midst of that trial, we forget everything God has done over the last 5 years or 10 years. And we look to God like he's never done anything. Like, "Where are you, God? Can I trust you, God? I don't know what you're doing, God." Hold on. The same God that knew what he was doing 5 years ago still knows what he's doing today. That same God, that miraculous, sovereign, powerful God, has not lost his power. He's not lost his sovereignty. He's not lost his wisdom. Just because you're going through a trial doesn't mean that God is confused. Just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean you have been lost in God's world map. God hasn't lost your number. Your tag hasn't been misplaced somewhere. God knows exactly who you are and where you are, and God knows exactly what he's doing. So do not question or test the goodness and character of our God. God is good.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called Getting Unstuck, which is the sixth part of our series called Red Hot Faith. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.